Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the latest episode of Miami Hurricanes Talk with Danny. And my guest this week is John Blau. He covers Clemson for the Greenville Post and Courier, if I pronounced the name right. The Clemson Tigers and the Miami Hurricanes Saturday night at 8 o'clock at Hard Rock Stadium. It'll be on ACC Network. John has a few minutes to join us. John, good afternoon and welcome.
Oh, thanks for having me, Danny.
A couple things right off the bat. When I look at Clemson, to me, I look at Clemson, John, and Clemson, look, Clemson's not the Clemson of years past. We all know that. But this is still a dangerous Clemson team. I read a piece on that you put today regarding Clemson. What do you attribute the grades to, given, listen, Clemson's not Clemson, but this is still a dangerous team?
Yeah, I think I gave them like an overall grade of a C minus, I think, for the first six games. And that was just the mistakes. I mean, it's, you know, you could take a test and, or maybe this would be a better analogy. You'd have a really good semester and then you get to the final and you blow it. That's kind of what Clemson's first six games were. I mean, like you said, a very talented football team offensively, made a lot of progress. The Duke game was really shaky offensively. But they did move the ball. But, you know, turnovers, just, you know, three turnovers inside the 10-yard line against Duke that kind of blow that game. You blow the game against Florida State. You have a lead the entire game until a sack fumble touchdown allows them to tie the game up instead of going up by two scores. And then you end up losing in overtime. So, yeah, it was more just in terms of, you know, not finishing, just too many mistakes. And that brought the grade down, from our perspective, down to something like a C minus. But then again, like you said, definitely potential in that offense. Haven't quite seen the ceiling yet. Defense is very good.
Yeah. Defense, I see the Clemson defense. Listen, the Clemson defense is outstanding. Now, of course, we know they have two good ones in Jeremiah Trotter, and you know, then the other guy, I forget who his name is, but
Barron Carter. Yeah.
Carter and Trotter, you know, they're very good. I mean, Wes, I read something about Wes Goodwin. He was very pleased with the defense. What does he have to see to get better in the second half? But they know the tackling has to improve.
Yeah, tackling, I think, was an issue in a couple games. Again, bring up that Duke game. There was like a long touchdown run that Riley Leonard had, just couldn't quite bring him down. Travis from Florida State, obviously, is a very elusive guy, but they did a pretty decent job caging him. I would say just more consistent pressure at times. You know, that Florida State game, obviously, he was able to get 290 yards, Travis was. And Wake Forest, you know, they got pretty good pressure. But you still want to see them, I guess, reach that level of dominance in terms of just consistently affecting the quarterback, consistently shutting down the run, just because you have so much talent on that defensive line. So many experienced guys. Really, the only guy who's getting behind the line of scrimmage doing a lot of damage thus far is TJ Parker, who's a freshman defensive end. So they have a lot of guys who you just want to see a little more production from. But I would say, again, like we were talking about, the defense has been the strength of Clemson's team. Pass defense, much improved. Just you would like to see them kind of create a few more negative plays.
Yeah, I think that too. They know they have off a bye week this week, so they're going to come in very fresh, coming into Hard Rock Saturday night. I mean, we all know how good the defense is, but there's been some rumblings. You know, I know. Yes, the standard is the standard, as Mike Tomlin would stay with the Steelers. In Dabo's case, he has a term in that locker room: best is the standard. I know it's a stupid question, but I'll ask it anyway. Is Dabo really on the hot seat? I'll answer that probably not.
Yeah, I mean, I think that he's had qualms with people in terms of how they've interpreted that. Obviously, when he started with the program, this was not a team that was winning 10 games every season. So he wouldn't start winning multiple, you know, national championships, going to multiple college football playoffs, six in a row. I think people started then interpret best as the standard as in you have to win the national championship. In Dabo's mind, it's being the best you can possibly be. And obviously early in his tenure, winning national championships was not possible. So it's one of those things that, yeah, people will hit him back with in terms of, well, if best is the standard, then how is it okay to lose a couple games here or there? and not be in the national championship picture. But that's all depending on context and where you're at as a program. And yeah, I mean, Clemson fans got used to being in that conversation with the Alabamas, the Ohio States, the Notre Dames, the top teams in college football, and they're not quite competing at that level right now. So there's a little bit of angst in the fan base. And I know that Dabo even this week said, you know, so maybe the bandwagon's a little too full. We need to lose some games to get some people to jump off. But it's a little consternation there, but I guess that's to be expected when your program has won as much as Clemson has.
Question is basically with NIL, we use it here in Miami and, you know, and we still can't get over and might we use it here? Clemson has Dabo doesn't use NIL per se. And we all see how they've fallen off. What can Clemson do to overcome that?
Yeah, I wouldn't say they haven't used NIL. I mean, they do have a couple of collectives, Tiger Impacts, a nonprofit that's been connecting a lot of their athletes with charities, and then they pay them for the charitable work. And there's also a for-profit collective called Dear Old Clemson's. They do have NIL, and Dabo's even spoken about the fact that it's important that, when he's been around alums and stuff, but it's never going to be the thing with Dabo is he's very much focused on the education piece and the graduation piece. He's never going to be the guy who says, come to Clemson and get a bunch of money. That's just, he's more about the long-term reward is the thing that he's going to preach. And so, yeah, it's never going to be front and center with Dabo. It's just not his personality. It's not the way he looks at things. I know obviously the transfer portal is a thing that a lot of people talk about, obviously in connection with NIL. There's been a lot of programs floating that. But at the same time, that's not how it's supposed to work. You're not supposed to be able to say, you know, we got this much money for you. If you come through the transfer portal, here you go. But I think Clemson's obviously trying to continue the culture they've had for a very long time in terms of recruiting high school players, developing them, keeping the focus on education and such things. And I guess in Dabo's perspective, if you, kind of taint that, then the whole thing it's built on is tainted in a way. So maybe that's why it's never going to be that front and center thing for them. But they have definitely utilized NIL to what extent. Again, the contracts aren't exactly public, so we don't know. But they're definitely utilizing it. It's just about how much they adapt with the times with the portal and all that is a kind of ongoing question.
Yeah. Okay. We know Klubnik's coming back to Hard Rock. The last time he was there, we all know what happened. It was the Orange Bowl against Tennessee. He lost 31-14 that game. He was picked off twice, had a clock miscue at the end of the first half in that game. We know Clemson comes back. We all know that. Kay Klubnik's coming back. What has he grown? How has he grown since that Orange Bowl loss? And look at the return coming back.
Yeah, he's grown up a ton, honestly. That the Wake Forest game, the last game out, was actually kind of a little bit of a step back for him. That was what was surprising, which was kind of surprising because, you know, the Duke game was probably his worst game. I mean, he looked really shaky, did not look that comfortable. The kind of clock in his head in terms of when you get rid of the ball, who you're looking for, when do you escape the pocket, stuff like that was not quite there. I would say basically every game since the Wake Forest, other than the Wake Forest game, he's taken a step forward. Charleston Southern still made a few mistakes, passed for 300 yards. Florida Atlantic was very efficient, was making big plays with his arm. Florida State, again, they were in position to win that game, and Kate Klubnik was part of the reason why. And then at Syracuse was probably his best game in terms of just being able to read pressure, extend with his legs, find people on the run scramble drill, hitting shots down the field. He looked really, really good in that game. So it'll be interesting to see. I mean, he's got a bye week, a chance to reset again after a Wake Forest game that wasn't exactly what he wanted it to be. And does he come out, you know, kind of taking another step forward after taking a slight step back that at Miami, a team that's giving up some points. And so it'll be interesting to see how Kate Klubnik plays, but he's definitely been getting better for the most part throughout the season.
Yeah, basically we talked about the Clemson secondary. I'm going to talk about the Miami passing game. You know, the last two games that we have not done so as well. I mean, Miami had four turnovers against North Carolina last week. And then, you know, about the loss against Georgia Tech. I mean, Lick Kings lost two in a row. Khalil Barnes says that the secondary is up to the challenge. What have you seen from the secondary that makes you believe they're ready to step up to the challenge of playing that high-powered offense of Miami?
Yeah, I mean, I would say aside from that Florida State game where they gave up about 290 to Jordan Travis, they've been really solid. I think I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. It was in that report card article you cited, but I think it's about, other than that Florida State game, 150 yards per game they've given up through the air, which is a huge
B plus on that, I believe.
Yeah, B plus for the secondary. They've been a really solid unit, and you go back to the Wake Forest game, they were missing Nate Wiggins, who's potentially their best corner. Sheridan Jones, a senior, had headaches, kind of fell ill before the game, wasn't able to play. And they had two sophomores, Jaden Lucas and Toriana Pride, come in and help them pretty much shut down that Wake Forest passing game, obviously with a little bit of pressure from the defensive line as well. But that is probably the most improved unit on the team for Clemson. I don't know, other than Travis, if they've faced a team this good through the air. So that's what will be interesting to see. That's kind of how they match up. But I think they come in real confident. Like you said, Khalil Barnes, the freshman safety, who's also been a big-time contributor for them. They come in confident because they've kind of found a little bit of their swagger. And, again, you get Nate Wiggins back, who's been out for three games, potentially their best player in that secondary. They feel very confident about what they can do there.
Yeah, basically, our coach Mario Cristobal on Monday in his weekly press conference called Clemson – bullies, I quote, bullies. And the thing I look at, he said, Clemson's obviously an excellent football team. They're stacked with talent, championship caliber. You know, we all know the deal there. You know, the championships, et cetera, playoffs, et cetera. He said, he was asked how he doesn't let turn 2-3. What he said was, you do it with leadership at all levels. You do it at the coaching level. You do it with the best leaders on your team. You do it with honesty. You do it with transparency. I think if you ever deviate from that is when you create issues, okay? But we all know Clemson's running game is very good. And, you know, we know Will Shipley, you know, he's the guy we got that Miami has to stop. What have you seen from Shipley this year? Is he better than last year? Is he taking a step back? What do you see from Shipley?
Yeah, I mean, the running game's always dependent on the offensive line. And they have an interesting situation up front because coming to the year, thought it would really be a strength. They had four or five starters returning there, but they haven't really figured out that left tackle spot. They have a rotation there between Tristan Lee and Colin Sadler, two younger players. So it's one of those deals usually with quarterbacks. They'll say, well, if you're playing two quarterbacks, that means you don't have one. You know, kind of that's the situation at left tackle. And then at right guard, they lost a senior, Walker Parks, for the year. And so they're trying to figure out who to plug in there, whether it's a senior Mitchell Mays, who's been a reserve, or a true freshman Harris Sewell, who got most of the snaps against Wake Forest. And so the running game's been good at times. I mean, early in the year, I think they had about 200 yards at Duke. They were able to, you know, assert their will there against Wake Forest. It was a struggle for Will Shipley and Phil Maffa running the ball in the first half. It wasn't until the second half where the offensive line really adjusted and they popped off for 167 yards, eventually able to win that game. But the running game and the guys up front, I think, are a huge question going into the Miami game. And I think I remember looking at the stats, Miami's the top rush defense in the ACC. Yes. That's going to be a really pivotal matchup right there.
Yeah, we gave Miami last week gave up over 200 yards rushing. And you know the Miami defense is going to come out angry in this ball game. Believe me when I tell you that. John, I want to look at keys to the game. Your keys to the game, and then my keys to the game. First for Clemson.
Yeah, I mean, I would go back to what I just said. I mean, are they able to establish the run? Are they able to kind of keep some of the pressure off of the Cade Klubnik? Because again, I think Cade is taking steps forward, but I don't think you want them to have to air it out all day against Miami and that be the way you win the game. I think they have to be able to stay on schedule and kind of, you know, matriculate their way down the field as best as possible. So that's key. And then I think, yeah, the matchup of Miami's pass game versus Clemson, that secondary with Nate Wiggins back. I mean, if they're able to get some pressure on Tyler Van Dyke, who I guess I don't know exactly how healthy he is or how mobile he will be.
Mario Cristobal's kept that under. He doesn't discuss injuries inside the building. But
right,
exactly. Our reporter, Susan Millen-Deegan, speculates that it is a right leg injury. But Mario Cristobal on Monday said He talked to his people about Van Dyke. He's good to go. So expect Tyler Van Dyke to play in this game.
Yeah. So in terms of how mobile is he, is Clemson able to get some pressure on him and make him have to get the ball out or get make him uncomfortable? If they can do that, I think Clemson's got the bodies, again, a more mature, developing secondary that can limit that passing game. But do the guys up front get pressure? Can they beat Miami's offensive linemen in one-on-one situations? So, I mean, those are my keys to the game, I would say, up front on both sides. Are you be able to run the ball and are you able to get pressure on Tyler Van Dyke?
Same here. I think same here on this end for Miami. One, is Van Dyke healthy? And two, is a, can we get the running game going? Because we know Clemson's defense is very, very good. Not as good as in years past, but this is still a very good Clemson team. Also, I want to see, can Miami stop? I've always said the one thing Miami has to do is stop Shipley. Is take away Shipley and the other guy, Mafasa, right?
Phil Maffa.
Maffa and Shipley. Take those two away, you know, and make Kay Klubnik have to beat you in the air with his arm and not his leg. Now, the thing somebody asked me earlier, and I wanted to get your take on it, is this going to, are you expecting more, basically, hold on, I want to get this question out here. Yeah, do we expect more of a rushing attack or passing attack from Clemson? I know Garrett Riley hasn't been too happy with the offense in recent weeks.
Yeah, again, I think Garrett Riley wants to run a very balanced offense. I know that, you know, early in the year, you know, Garrett Riley was talking about, you know, a dirt raid. So obviously everybody thinks about air raid offenses and slinging it around, which I think, you know, Shannon Dawson at Miami is more of that type of guy. I think Garrett Riley likes to be balanced. He likes to establish the run. And Kay Klubnik's a guy who can also add in the running game in terms of his speed. He's a fast guy, a quarterback. So I think they definitely want to establish that, but I think they want to be balanced. So I would say they're not going to, you know, tilt one way or the other. I'd be surprised if it's a full-on, you know, air raid type of slinging it down the field, but I'd also, you know, be surprised if they're just running it 90% of the time. So I would expect balance in that okay. regard.
John, I'm going to get you out of here on this. Give me a prediction for Saturday night's game.
Yeah, I think it could go a lot of ways, but in terms of if I'm just thinking of a score off the top of my head, I would say 27-24 Clemson, a close one. The defense does just enough, and the offense is more efficient than they were in the Wake Forest game.
John, this is a statement game for Miami. Clemson's been on these stages before. For this group of Miami players, this is a big deal. Clemson is a good team. Both Clemson's losses came to both top 25 teams. Beating Clemson would get Miami back on track in the right direction. A loss means 0-3. There's a lot at stake for Miami in this game. I have to think, if this is the moment Mario Cristobal, our head coach, takes the next step of trying to really make it a different culture. Beating a team like this, granted a down Clemson, but still a quality opponent like Clemson is, I have to say it'll be very tight. It'll be very close. And I think finally this is going to be the year Miami finally gets the gorilla off their back and beats Clemson. I'm going to go Miami 28, Clemson 24. That's my prediction Saturday night. John, thank you so much for coming on. I greatly appreciate it. And we will do this again down the road.
Sounds good. Thanks, Danny.